Help people be more curious and wanting to hear the gospel. We see as we look in the first part of this passage here of Acts chapter 2, the disciples were united and all together in one place. Remember, Jesus said, wait, wait until the promised Holy Spirit comes. And we read here that suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. It wasn't manufactured. It's not emotionalism. It's not the music. It's not any kind of persuasion. The Holy Spirit being poured out on that first Pentecost Sunday. And we also read that tongues of fire rested upon each one of them. Little flames above their heads. And I know that some people would like to see some of these things repeated, and sometimes my challenge is, have you seen that repeated? This is a statement of what happened on the day of Pentecost. And we look to other passages of Scripture to help us understand some of what it means and how normal it is for us today, and what is to be expected in the life of the believer today. We read that they were all filled with God's Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. The Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak in a language they had never studied or learned. I learned Portuguese, but I had a Minnesota accent. Kind of messes things up for me. People would ask me all the time, you're not from here, are you? My goal the first couple months I was in Brazil was to speak so well that people who talked to me on the phone wouldn't know if I was American or Brazilian. That was my goal in the first couple months. By the third month, it's like, my goal is to communicate, even if there was an accent. When we went to Portugal, people would say, are you Brazilian? Because I had a little of that accent. Anyway, I'm not Brazilian or Portuguese, and everyone knows it. But I still have that Minnesotan accent. Can't get rid of it. Maybe someday, but I doubt until heaven. But they each spoke in languages, real languages. And we know that because the people that we're hearing were saying, we hear our own languages. We hear the wonders of God in our own languages. And we read the list of those people and the languages that were being spoken. We see here that representatives of many nations are prepared for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what those people did? After Pentecost celebration was over, they went back to their countries. And you know what they told about? They told about Jesus. They told the gospel. Many of them came to faith in Christ. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Then when it was time to go back to their homes and countries, they brought that good news and the gospel spread quickly among many. We see that we're told these were devout Jews living in Jerusalem. The Jews living in Jerusalem and devout men from every nation under heaven. And they heard the Christians speaking in their own language, and the result was bewilderment. What's going on? What is this? There was also amazement. They were amazed. Aren't these Galileans? Aren't these Galileans? Seems to me kind of a little slam, like, you're not from here, are you? Or when I went to Portugal for the first time, you speak Brazilian. I said, no, I speak Portuguese. He said, no, you speak Brazilian. And I realized, yep, I was put in my place. I was put in my place. They were amazed. They were astonished. And they were curious. Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. They were Jewish people coming back for the celebration of Pentecost, but they were also Gentiles who converted to the Jewish faith. Jew and Gentile. Their attention was captured so that they could hear the message. Some people who heard were curious, and they asked the question, what does this mean in verse 12? What does this mean? And others, and it says others of a different kind or quality, said they're full of sweet wine. They've had too much to drink. No, you're... Speech doesn't get better with too much to drink. It gets worse. You don't learn new languages, you forget sometimes the one that you already knew. And those questions, that curiosity, prepared people for Peter's sermon. Remember Peter, who not many days before denied Jesus three times. He was forgiven. He was restored. And he got up with such a boldness on that day of Pentecost. And he noted a contrast, not sinful behavior, but spiritual behavior. It's not drunkenness as you're thinking. It's only the third hour of the day. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But he explained that it's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been given, even as Jesus had promised. And more details are given as well, quoting from Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. What is it? This is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. This is a fulfillment of prophecy, Peter said. And when is it to occur? We read in 17, and it shall be in the last days. And the phrase, the last days, I've used it myself in this way too, but a lot of people look around and say, oh, we must be living in the last days. And I can say, that's for sure. But it's a phrase used to describe the time of the Messiah in the last days. And since the time the Messiah has come, we have been living in the last days. And those days may seem like they go on a long time, but the time is short. Apostle John talked about the Antichrist is coming, and even now many Antichrists have come. The writer of the book of Hebrews, inspired by God's Holy Spirit, said, in these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son. When it shall occur, the time of the Messiah in these last days, how it will happen, I will pour forth my Spirit on all mankind, and the results we see, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall see dreams, and your young men shall see dreams, and your old men shall see visions. I'm getting it mixed up. Some of the medium-aged men can't read this morning. But your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bondslaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given oftentimes for a task. He filled, he equipped, he enabled people to serve God and to accomplish God's purposes. In Numbers chapter 11, there were many men that were prophesying, and Joshua was jealous for Moses. Should I tell them to stop? And Moses asked, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit on, them. And we see from the day of Pentecost on, not just a few leaders, not just a few people called to do God's work, were given his Holy Spirit, but all believers, every Christian, every person who trusts in Christ has the Holy Spirit. The gift is not the gift of tongues. The important gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit. If we get distracted by the gifts that the Lord gives and neglect the giver, It's to our hurt. The quote from Joel goes on to say that I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. What's going on? Was that happening there? Peter said what Joel prophesied has been fulfilled, is being fulfilled. It's happening right now. And it's the description is the undoing of all of creation. The sun burning out, things falling apart. And it's in its fullest sense, I don't see those things happening until the Lord comes back again. But until he comes back, here's the message. Here's the message for each one of us to hear. And again, also a quote that Peter uses from the prophet Joel, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Oh, but I'm not Jewish. I'm just a Gentile. All who call on the Lord will be saved. The invitation for salvation is for every race and every tribe and every language and every nation. That's why we pray for the Gideons and support the Gideons so that they can get the Word of God into many languages. That's why we pray for Bible translators and support their ministry so that God's Word gets into all the languages so that people can hear the gospel in the language of their heart. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We know from John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die for us. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not be cut off from God for all of eternity, shall not perish but have eternal life. In Genesis chapter 12, the chapter right after the Tower of Babel, we see God choosing one man and his family to be his people. But not to stop there, not so that the Jewish people were, someone has said, not a bucket but a pipe to share and pass on God's blessings to the nations. He focused on one nation to reach the other nations of the world. God said to Abraham, in you all the nations shall be blessed. In the New Testament, the focus shifted from the physical nation of Israel to a spiritual nation, a holy people that is described in Galatians and in Ephesians and elsewhere as the church, the people of God. In 1 Peter, we see, speaking to the Gentiles, especially once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. Once you were in darkness, now you are light in the Lord. Through the church, even today, God still is reaching the nations, the ones in our midst. God is bringing many students from many nations to our schools to study. Does anyone share the gospel with them? Do our children or grandchildren who attend school, do they have a burden to reach anyone and everyone with the gospel, but especially some of the international students that God might bring to our nation? God is still seeking to reach the nations. If this is the case, and it is, God would have us as a congregation to be a spirit-filled congregation. And I mean that in the biblical sense of the word, not in the way it's misused many times today. He would also have us to be a sending church that sends money to support missionaries, that sends people as missionaries, that sends our prayers to support and to sustain the ministries of his servants around the world. He would have us to be a spirit-filled church. He would have us to be a sending church. He would have us to be a giving church. Not many of us have said, I've got too much money. A lot of people, at least in the world, say, well, I've got more money, a bigger house, more cars, more bling. But God bless us so that we have opportunities to spread the good news of the gospel to those that still need to hear it, to be a giving church, to be a praying church. To not just say, oh, we'll pray for you, and then forget. Oh, what's your name again? Oh, yeah, I think I saw your picture before. When Sarah and I were missionaries in Brazil and in Portugal, the highest encouragement we had, when little kids would say, they're the people on our refrigerator. Because when our prayer card was there, it would remind people to pray. That was an encouragement to us to be a praying church, to be an evangelizing church. What a joy it is to share the gospel, to lead someone to faith in Christ. As the Holy Spirit works through the good news of the gospel, prepares that heart. Doesn't always happen the first time we share the gospel, or the second, or the third, or the fourth. A lot of times we get closed, slammed doors. We get comments. People are offended. Nevertheless, we share. We share the good news of Jesus. And also to be a disciple-making church, that we don't want people just to come to faith in Christ and let them flounder. We want to disciple them, train them in the Word of God, train them in the Christian life. In brief, God would have us to be a church that seeks first His kingdom and His righteousness, the gift that He gives to us in Christ. And He will provide all the other things that we need. And we do these things for the praise and honor of His holy name and for the expansion of His kingdom and the spread of the gospel on this earth. People still need to hear. Some of those people might be in your family. Some might be in your places of work. Some might be that neighbor that bothers you so much. Rather than throwing a stone to hurt his lawnmower or her lawnmower, maybe you can bring a loaf of bread or a cup of coffee. And as we have chances, as we have opportunities to share who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, that He forgives sins, that He died to pay for our sins and for the sins of the world. Amen.